you, Tim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's good to see you. Totally forgot what I was going to say. Hold on one second. Let me get back here. Oh, there we go. There we go. Yeah, they're lost again. Jerry, so good to have you. Like, I took a picture of you while you were playing. I'm going to frame it. It's got a great smile. In case you don't know, in case you forgot, in case you're new here and never met me, my name is James. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to be able to worship together. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, you guys may or may not have known, but every song up there had exactly with where we were going. So some of you guys may have been thinking, why did we not see more traditional Palm Sunday songs? Well, we did. You just didn't know it. Think with me for a second. Think with me about a phrase or an action that your parents used to do that you now do. Okay? Think with me about a phrase or an action. All those kids who have their parents in here, they're like, yeah, buddy, because we're going to share these. Think with me about a phrase or an action that your parents used to do that you now do, okay? If you're watching online, we should have a number up on the screen. Go ahead and text that number in. We're going to have a little bit of time shortly where we have you share those things, okay? Before I jump to my parents, you know, we end up acting like the people we're around. We end up talking like the people we're around. I get to be around Trevor, who's not up front not up front today. He's up in the nursery, actually, one of our associate pastors. I'm around him quite a bit, and some of his phrases I've picked up. Like the whole, if you don't know who I am or you forgot me, my name is, that's what Trevor brought in. Okay? Now, he also taught me the phrase, turn or tap with me in your Bible. So if you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn or tap with me to Luke chapter 6. We will eventually get there. So, see, I pick up on these things. Trevor's been here about 2 years, and I'm already using his phrases. Going back to my folks, though, something my mom used to do. In fact, I think she still does. Mom, if you're listening, thank you for this. When I would come to her, no matter the age I was, with what I thought would be a fantastic, genius, amazing idea that maybe she didn't quite agree with as much of the geniusness of it, she would look at me and say, well, James, now that's an idea. I tell you what, when I was this high, I thought, that is so, well, I didn't think this, but I felt so validated. Like, I felt like she loved what I was bringing. Now that I'm Well, okay, so now that I'm this tall, I see that she still loved what I was bringing, but more so she loved me, right? She wanted me to feel validated, me to feel loved, me to feel welcomed. I have found myself saying that phrase to people. Well, now that's an idea. And if I ever say it to you, it's not because I think your idea is not great. It's because I want you to feel loved. I want you to feel validated. I want you to feel affirmed. Okay, so you get where I'm going, okay? What is a word or phrase or action that your parents used to do that you now do? We got anybody brave enough to answer?
Put it back where you got it.
Do you say that to your kids now?
Uh-huh.
Okay, put it back where you got it. Oh, while you're eating dinner, they'll ask what you want for dinner the next day. Do you do that now? That's actually a really good idea. You're like, yep, he sure does. Okay, good, 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 good. I might have to take that one up. Go outside and do what? Get the stink blown off you. Who do you say that to? Or who do you do that to? Your nieces and nephews. So you now do that too. Or... Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Go outside, get the stink blown off you. Tim.
Oh, you're bored? I can find something for you to do.
Oh, you're bored? I can find something for you to do. Yeah. Have you said that to your kids?
Yes.
I can't see your kids getting bored, though. Anybody else? Yeah. I have one bad ear, so I heard something probably completely different. Life is not black and white. It's full of gray. You say that to people? You live that? Okay. Mike?
What I get from my dad is I make popcorn. He taught me how to make popcorn when I was dying. I've been doing it ever since.
You've been doing it ever since. Mike might be... My dad used to make popcorn too, and he used to not want us kids to eat it, so like he started putting cayenne pepper on it, a couple other spices. Oh, we loved it. We still actually do that. Thanks, Dad. Anybody else? Yeah. What do you mean, we? We pilgrims. What do you mean? And you say that same thing now?
Yeah,
so you probably say it without even knowing it.
I tease the people I love.
You tease the people you love. Does your dad tease you? You can't answer no. Okay, Coach? Yes, Mom used to say, actions speak louder than words. He says that a lot to his students. I've been with him when he's with his students. I've heard him say that. We end up becoming like the people we're around. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm reminded again this morning how good it is to be with your people, whether online or in person, singing, praying, listening, laughing, being in your presence. I pray, Lord, that this morning we would become more like you because we are in your presence. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you haven't done it yet, turn or tap to Luke chapter 6. Thank you, Trevor, if you're listening upstairs for that line. Luke chapter 6 is Jesus teaching a section about judgment. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 to 42. Can you follow along or just listen? Jesus said, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, make room for more, running over, and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." Then Jesus gave the following illustration. "Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, 'Friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." Today we are in week 3 of a 5-week sermon series that we've titled Practicing the Way of Jesus. All right, this sermon series has taken influence by a John Mark Comer book, Practicing the Way. Also, our denominational conference wants us to, each church to have a discipleship pathway, so discipleship is really on the forefront this year for our churches. And our vision statement is walking with others as we walk with Christ. And we're digging deeply in this series as to what it looks like when we walk with Christ. All right, so week 1, I kicked off the series saying, here's where we're going. Last week, Trevor preached, and anybody remember what he talked about? See, y'all ain't Jesus, thank you. Trevor, you didn't hear it, but every single one of them recited your sermon to a T. He's up in the nursery, he's watching, okay? Trevor talked about being with Jesus. Does that ring a bell? We're looking at practicing the way of Jesus. One of the ways we do that is we be with Jesus. This week, I want to talk about going beyond just being with Jesus. We need to become like Jesus. We need to become like Jesus. Did you catch that emphasis in the middle of that section on judgment? Verse 40 says it like this. "Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher." I'm going to read that again. This time when I get to the underlined part, you guys read it with me. Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like their teacher. Be like Jesus. Okay, if you got your parents saying, oh, you're bored, I'll give you something to be bored about, or something along those lines, right? How much more important is it for us to not just learn to emulate our parents, but to learn to emulate Jesus? And if we're being with Jesus on a regular, ongoing, everyday type basis, shouldn't we start becoming like Jesus? So what's that look like to become like Jesus? Do we have to walk around in sandals and a beige bathrobe? Yeah, y'all don't have to answer that. No. Do we have to become good friends with 12 guys that don't really fit together and then go homeless and you know, just hang out together? No. Do we have to make all the church folk mad at us and just become friends with the drunkards, the gluttons, and the sinners? Well, that one wouldn't be all that bad, actually. What is it like to be like Jesus? What would it be like to be formed into the image of Christ, to be changed in our everyday selves, to look like, act like, react like, think like Jesus? Let's start with this truth, okay? We're all being formed. We are all being formed. We're being shaped. We're being changed into something. So the question is not, am I being formed? It's, who am I being formed like? What's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? No need to answer, because some of you are going to say you go to the bathroom, which I hope that's the case for all of you. But then what's next? You pick up your phone? You grab the newspaper? You get your coffee? Okay. You turn on the news? You look at social media? Maybe you go sit in your favorite chair and look at the birds and get a devotional? The things that we do, the people we're around, shape us. They form us. In this book, Invitation to a Journey, a Roadmap for Spiritual Formation, Robert Mulholland Jr. says this. He says, we become either agents of God's healing, liberating grace, and love, or carriers of the sickness of the world. We become either carriers of God's love or carriers of the sickness of the world. Who will we become? Who will we be like? So what would it look like to be like Jesus? Well, that'd take at least a 52-week sermon series, maybe longer. And perhaps we could scrunch it down into a 16-week sermon series, but I'm going to try to do it in less than 15 minutes in the next 15 minutes, okay? I once heard somebody say, so I can't take credit for this, I once heard somebody say that the great poem that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth wasn't necessarily a poem to be read at weddings, but it was a poem describing Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 13. I'm sure you guys have heard this before. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no records of being wronged. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful. Love endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever, Paul writes. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only parts of the whole picture, but when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. Goes on to speak, when I was a child, I did this, but now that I've grown up, this. And at the end of the chapter, he says, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. When that person told me that this chapter isn't so much a wedding text, but a text describing Jesus, it transformed the way I think about it. Okay? Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is not jealous. Jesus is not boastful. Jesus is not proud. Jesus does not demand his own way. Well, that one might need an asterisk by it, because he did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay. Kind of same with the next one. Jesus is not irritable. I saw him get irritable a few times at the religious folk who were stuck in their ways, who didn't want to listen and learn from him. Okay. So maybe those two have asterisks. But the next one, Jesus keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus rejoices when the truth wins. Jesus never gives up. Jesus never loses faith. Jesus is always hopeful. Jesus endures through every circumstance. Do our lives look like this? Love is. Jesus is. Be like Jesus. Y'all probably heard it said that if you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. Right? If you want to know what Jesus looks like, look at God. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You want to look at Jesus, look at God. God is love, Jesus is love. Famous verse, I think it's held up at baseball signs, John 3:16. Anybody know it? Say it in whatever translation you memorized it in, okay? For God so loved the world. For God so loved. You ever John 3:16 somebody? I mean, it's like you hit them with a sign. Have you ever 1 John 3:16 to anybody? We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters as well. Jesus is love. So a pastor in Atlanta named Andy Stanley. Some of you may recognize his dad, his dad's name. He is a pastor, a speaker, an author. He wrote a book several years ago called Irresistible. And in that book, he was trying to show how the church could become irresistible again like it was in the early days. You know, people could, they struggled to stay away from it. And ultimately, the entire book could be summed up in one question. What does love require of me? What is the loving thing to do? What does love require of me? Does that mean we have to all have to go die on a cross for the sins of the world? No. Jesus did that. It's done. Once and for all. But Stanley goes on to say, you know, Jesus went beyond just the law. Jesus responded to God's love. He prioritized others. He filled others' needs. He comforted and confronted. He forgave and sacrificed. That sounds a little bit like the passage we started but didn't finish. 1 John 4, verse 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life. Hey, that's in 1 John 2, not just regular John. Look at that. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, verse 11 says, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. If you can't hear it online, we are dancing to a ringtone. Probably a good thing that... Who's we, Pilgrim? That's good. You're making a mark on him. That's really good. Now, where was I? Verse 13, for God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15, we love each other. Verse 19, excuse me, because he first loved us. Do you want to be like Jesus? Because we could talk about it for a year or two or three or 10-year sermon series, or we could just simplify it today and say, be love. Truly, As simple as that. Are we becoming more loving? Would the friends that you had in grade school, junior high, high school, look at you today and say, that person's more loving than he was back then, or than she was back then? We'll take an example from the book. Don't be mad at me, okay? John Mark Comer says, you look at 80-plus-year-olds, okay? I'm not looking at anybody in particular in here. Just know that, okay? And he says, you look at 80-plus-year-olds who've had a lifetime of forming, a lifetime of opportunity of becoming like Jesus, and he says they're either the most gracious and loving people you'll ever meet, or the most bitter that you'll ever meet. I'm not picking on you over 80-year-olds. I'm just sharing a message that, frankly, we all need to hear. We all need to be reminded of. This idea of loving is not a new idea. Been around for a while. In fact, Jesus said, you know, he claimed it was kind of new back in John 13, 34. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That was 2,000 years ago. The question for us is, are we living that love? Because if we're not becoming more like Christ. Think for a moment with me. Think about a time in the not-so-distant future when somebody's going to, and maybe it's even happening already, somebody's going to become, they're going to be watching you. They're going to be mimicking you. They're going to be saying the things you do, doing the things you do. As they do that, will you be able to look at them and say, they're more like Jesus? They're loving more like Jesus because they're doing what you have done. What does love require of us? Not a new concept, but extremely profound. Luke chapter 6, verse 40, students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. This week, which is Holy Week, as Jason said, pay attention to whether or not you are being loving like Jesus loved. And what a great week to look at that example, right? Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter. Take a look and see if the love that Jesus demonstrated that week is the same love you're demonstrating this week. Simple? Yep. Challenging. Let's pray. Jesus, we do want to be more and more like you. And we could search the scriptures. We could look at all the different ways you acted, all the different ways you reacted, all the different ways you interacted. And each and every one of those ways, even in the times that we might view as frustration or anger, you were acting out of love. And God, forgive the church when we have not acted out of love. Forgive the church when we have not done the loving thing, when we have not asked what love requires of us and then followed through on that. Lord, help us be a people that when they look at us, when they interact with us, they know they're looking at interacting with someone who looks like Jesus and is becoming like Jesus. We'll pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.